Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And on the 11th of December, the Phil Hendry Show will be on the road in my hometown of Arcadia, California. Going to be doing a CD signing there at Dave & Buster's in the Santa Anita Mall. And I would like for you to know that so that you can come and say hello to us. If you're one of the first 250 people in line, you'll be treated to a special one-man Phil Hendry Show. That's right. So I'll do a few minutes, maybe a half hour. Maybe I'll do 3 hours on the Life and Times. And there'll be all kinds of guests there, man. There'll be Margaret Gray and Bobby, and there'll be every kind of douchebag. Pardon me, Bobby, for saying that. But and we'll have what's-his-name, and who's it? Who's the cat we just had on? Oh, Larry Grover. Lloyd Bonafide is going to be visiting us this hour. I actually asked Lloyd Bonafide and Justin McElroy. Mr. Bonafide is a retired heating and plumbing executive from Alhambra, California. Justin McElroy is a high school junior at Canyon High. And I asked the two of them to do a project on ancestry. And we're going to be hearing from them and what they discovered about their individual ancestors. And I don't know if any of you guys are into that. But anyway, getting back to our special event. And I'd like to thank my brothers over there at Extra Sports for helping us put this off. It'll be on the 11th of December at Dave & Buster's, 400 South Baldwin Avenue in Arcadia, California. It's located in the Santa Anita Mall on the second floor of the new wing. The first 250 people between 3 and 4 get a wristband. You're going to watch me do a one-man show, and then we'll sign our CD. And all the proceeds go to my friend's place, the Resource Center for Homeless and Runaway Kids in Hollywood, California. We also have a classic flashback coming up. A flashback is a section of a show that people dug so much that they email us, they want to hear it again. This is a Bob Green bit from 2002, and this is a bizarre bit, man. He was doing what? He was driving around in a van, and he has puppies, and he was picking kids up, inviting them into the van to see these puppies, and it was a pretty twisted bit. But this is, what is this, before he owned a grocery store? This guy, Bob Green, ought to be investigated by everybody. 1-800-449-8686. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And I just wanted to say, because I've been wanting to say this for a few days. I know there's been a lot of talk about maybe the troops coming back from Iraq, which, hey, man, as far as I'm concerned, that, you know, if the job's done, that's great. I know what Bush said today. Who knows? But I wanted to say hello to the individuals in the United States Army and the Marine Corps who do email our show and listen to us and trade our CDs and trade tapes of the show. And by God, you know, if you guys come back healthy and successful and everything, I couldn't hope for anything more. We love you. We're proud of you. I want you to know this, that when you do get back, I hope you don't forget the cats that were making a little tough on you while you're over there. I hope you don't forget the Michael Moores and the Susan Sarandons. I know you're gonna see a lot of friends when you get home. Most everybody's going to be happy to see you. When you get back, just remember the people who made a big thing about you guys being war criminals. Just remember who the people were that wanted you guys to be war criminals. Just remember the people who wanted you guys to, you know, they called them the Minutemen that you were fighting, right? Don't ever forget all of that chump change. You know, Fatso said you guys were fighting the Minutemen. Fat ass with a hot dog in one hand and another long, well, maybe not so long, cylindrical thing in the other. And then, you know, all those punks. Don't forget who they are, man. Don't let anybody blow any smoke up your ass is what I'm trying to say, all right? When you get back over here and the parades start, and there'll be a lot of them, and a lot of people say, we're happy you're home, we're happy. Don't let anybody blow any smoke up your ass about how they're, oh, you know, they supported you. Because while you cats are over there, there's people over here who were just clapping their hands together waiting for the latest underwear on the head story to come back. And they could turn that into Auschwitz 2005. Do you know the kind of war crimes that are being committed in the name of... And what do we get? Some guy with BVDs on his head. Maybe with a bacon strip or two in him. Oh, wow. And they wanted to turn that against you guys. And I remember when the Iraq War started, some chick emailed, she said, does anybody have any information on this quote? After I killed my 10th child, I stopped counting. I really want to know the source. Oh, she just couldn't wait to get her war criminal stories going. So I emailed her and I said, yeah, I said it. I said it on the air, and I was talking about my own children. It had nothing to do with war. And she's like, oh, aren't you funny? Well, I already found the source, Mr. Hendry, so blow it out your you-know-what. Well, I have that woman's email address, so if any of you cats come back, I'd be happy. As a matter of fact, I'd be happy to give all of our returning men and women from Iraq and Afghanistan. I have got a just a filing cabinet full of email addresses of some real scumbags that I'd be happy to lay on you. Or maybe you cats don't care, which is fine, too. I just, you know, we've been back here, you know, trying to back you up and having to listen to all the dumbkoffs at the same time. So it's, anyway, I hope like hell that what Bush said today is true, that those guys are learning how to do their thing, you know, the Iraqi armed forces. But the fact of the matter is, you know, we cut and run on those people. You think the world hates us now. We cut and run on the Iraqis, man. What are they going to think of us, like, in a year when Zarqawi is elected Grand Emir for life, and, you know, and he has, like, a, you know, somebody's head cut off as part of his inaugural. But what are they going to say then? They're going to say, you all bunch of punk. By the way, speaking of, have you checked out, lately, it all of a sudden occurred to me, and I don't know why it just all of a sudden occurred to me, but it occurred to me, rap. Most of the songs are this. Yeah, I'm super fly. I'm Superman. You ain't got nothing on me. The things I can do. The amaze. It's all. It's suddenly, it's like a mystical. These cats. These cats are talking about themselves like, you go against me, man. That's a big mistake. The things I do. I'm like a ballerina, yo, dog. I'm stuck. You know, I'm all this, and I'm all. It's like it's gone beyond just, you know, social commentary. It's really basically now. It's, I am godlike. I'm Zeus. Kick my ass. Then some other dude comes along. Yo, man, all the little punk rap stuff you do, you don't even know what time it is. I got the, I know, I, me. So I, you know, the reason why I know that is because I bought Madden 2006, and I was listening as I'm, you know, as I'm creating all my little make-believe teams and trying to get online and playing, guys, I'm listening to this. The only good thing about Madden 2006 in terms of the music, though, the music's good, but they got those, now they're playing all that, you know, that orchestra stuff?
What do you mean, orchestra stuff?
Orchestra stuff.
What?
Like with trombones.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I don't know what to call it. It's stuff that isn't just guitars and drums. It's got trombones and, like, flutes.
Trombones and flutes. Got it.
All right, we'll be back with our flashback from Bob Green on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
All right, now I'm going, by the way, I got my daughter all upset this morning. I said there were, not this morning, just yesterday, I said, you know, there was a Superboy.
Yeah.
Was there a, you know, like an Aqua Boy?
No.
Well, why not?
Because there wasn't. Well,
Superboy, but no Aqua Boy. I don't get it. What, Aqua sees a guy and then all of a sudden he had gills, like when he was 21? And was there a Bat Boy?
No, there's no Bat Boy. There's only Bat.
Well, I'll tell you why there's no Bat Boy. Because if they had a Bat Boy, then they've got to cop to something. They've got to cop to the fact that they're elevating to a sort of mythic status somebody who is clearly psycho. Some kid dressing in a cape with bat ears. I don't care if he was the guy that did in Polly Castellano right there in front of Spark Steakhouse. Bat Boy did Polly Castellano. I don't care. Bat Boy is too fright. The only Bat Boy I want to see is that guy that's always on the cover of World Weekly News. That kid with the freaky. What is it with that picture? Yeah. Oh, really? You know, World Weekly News is a great humor magazine. People don't get it. It's a humor magazine. There's nobody. It's a comedy. And people look at it. You expect me to believe there's a bat. Well, I guess they do expect you to believe it. All right. It's time now for our flashback. And this is from Brian. Brian says, hey, you had Bob, I believe, on the show talking about how he didn't see anything wrong with talking or with taking children for a ride around the block so he could show them his puppies. He kept talking about his three-piece suit, wingtips, and one white glove. The show was so incendiary, I was tempted to call. I caught on sooner or later, but I was fooled for a while. Anyway, I could hear this bit again. Thanks, Brian. Boy, that's weird. So the guy didn't get the show. Then he finally did get the show, but that's the bit he wants to hear. Suddenly he's not angry anymore. He's pissed. He's happy. Well, let's check it out. Here it is, Bob Green from July of 2002. He's got on his wingtips, his three-piece suit, and he's got puppies.
Why would you take two of the puppies to someone
to a playground to show children.
Right.
Leave them in the car. Well, you didn't want to take all of them for some reason.
Why would you leave them in the van? The animals get car sick.
Okay. Why did you take two then?
Oh, well, I took two of the animals. I took two of the stronger ones. One's name is Tuglug, and the other one's name is Muffy. They're two strong animals. The other puppies, seem to get car sick.
You know what? I don't even care what their names are. That's totally irrelevant.
And you're getting upset because I'm answering your questions good.
I'm sorry. You're right. Thank you for answering my question. However, as a logical person...
And Muffy's the pick of the litter, and that's why I brought her out so the kids could see that one. They're sheepdogs.
That's splendid. How could you, as a logical person, think that parents should not and would not be upset that you would pull up in front of a playground in a van, dressed meticulously or not, grab a little girl by the hand because you are saying she was afraid of the puppies?
Whoa, what do you mean grab?
No. Let me make... Okay, holding her hand and walking her across the street. She was a little girl. She does not know... Someone's going to hurt her. At that age, everyone's good.
Wait a minute, ma'am. You don't know that there are bad people. The news has been all over the place about the Elizabeth Smart girl and all of those poor kids. So the kid's been seeing the news. She knows what she's doing.
At five years old, she does not know what she's doing.
How does she know?
How could you possibly believe that a little girl is not going to look up to an adult who looks like a very smart, intelligent, well-dressed man? Why would she be afraid?
It's been all over the news.
Why would she think that you... Besides, parents shield their children from the harsh realities of the world we live in.
So these vigilantes...
Excuse me, may I finish? And then you can reply all you want, and I will not interrupt you.
All right, but I'm the guy with two cracked ribs and a lacerated kidney. Thank you very much.
If I would have found you, you would have had more.
What crime did I commit?
You know what? If you would have walked up to my five-year-old and taken her to show her something in a van and put her in a van, would you like to see the puppies how they hang out the window? What kind of freaking stupid comment is that?
Wait a minute.
I mean,
you're not a dog owner. Obviously, you're not a dog. When dogs stick their faces out the window...
I know exactly what dogs do. What a kind of cockamamie story is that? And how in the world... Do you think it looks when you stick a sock in a child? Are you for real?
That's the thing that I want to say, Angela, is...
All right, I understand that, and the police questioned me at length about that. The kid was screaming.
Well, duh.
All right, she's screaming.
She's screaming. You're scaring her to death.
How am I supposed to know that I'm scared?
You could be trying to kill her.
No, wait a second. Wait a minute.
TV, you could be a maniac.
Wait a minute. She said she wanted to see the dogs. All right.
Of course,
she wanted to see the dogs.
My doesn't want to see cute puppies. I'm 29. I love to see puppies.
Can I ask you a question, ma'am? What happened to the good old days when a kid could go for a ride with a stranger or you could give a child
some
candy?
Who let their kids go for a ride with a stranger?
What's that?
Who let their children ever go for rides with strangers unless you grew up in a little tiny town?
There was a time, young lady, in this country where you could get into the car with a stranger and go off and have some lunch. Now, all of a sudden, I got the crap kicked out of me.
What year are you living in?
Exactly. This is 2002, man. We got armored personnel carriers taking our kids to school now. We got rapists. We got muggers. We got every kind of animal out there.
And you're throwing me in with that group.
Well, sir, you didn't hurt the child.
There is not a person that puts a five-year-old child in a van with a sock in her mouth and expects her to not scream and go crazy. So how would she not think that you were trying to hurt her?
Because kids are afraid of dogs. I thought she was afraid of the way the dogs looked when they put their faces out the window. What are the things?
Do you believe the that's coming out of your mouth?
Ma'am, one of the things that looks weird when a sheepdog puts his face out the window on a freeway is the jowls flap up, and it'll scare the hell out of a kid.
Wait a minute. The kid is screaming because she sees the jowls on a sheepdog flapping up.
Well, let me tell you something. You guys can sit there and go, oh, my God. I got a boot to my groin, thank you very much. I'll be singing soprano because some guys...
Do you not think that that is well-deserved? Do you not think that... Do you have any children?
Ma'am, I got a 9mm put in my ear because all I wanted to do was show some brat a dog.
Do you have children?
No, I do not.
Are you married?
No, I'm not. Look, and I was driving a 2002. Well, you can get in your little cuties all you want, but I was driving a 2002 Windstar. I had two rare breed dogs that breeders normally charge $600 a pup, and I was willing to lay it on one of these kids going up and down a slide. And what do I get for my trouble? My teeth kicked in. My groin kicked in.
You know, every time you tell me what happened to you, it gets worse.
Yeah, exactly what happened.
I sustained injuries to my kidney, two broken or cracked ribs, what the doctor told me, and I got a strangulated testicle.
From getting kicked in the groin?
Yes, sir.
All right, thank you very much.
And I lost the sight in my right eye temporarily.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, well,
I mean, I cannot imagine that you think this is logical. How, I mean, what did anything flash through your mind that this little girl is screaming? I've been watching all of these things on television about children being murdered and taken from their families.
No, according to you,
and you think that this is okay?
According to you, she hasn't seen the news. That's what you just said to me. So, which is it?
Well, according to you, she has seen the news.
No, I'm asking that you have watched the news. You have seen this happen. And you think that this is okay? That a little girl is screaming, that you should not be scared to death? And worried about what's going on, that you think this could be okay?
Sometimes the kids think the doggy's going to bite.
So that's why she's screaming so loud.
No,
you
she's
shove
screaming
a sock into her
because
mouth.
You have, yeah, exactly. You have pulled her into the van.
No, you don't get
misled
it.
Misled her.
No, you don't get it. You don't get it.
I'm really sorry.
Right,
I'm an educated person.
Thank you.
I do get most things. You
right.
don't get it.
Yeah, Bob, we don't get it, man. Sticking a sock in a kid's mouth and pulling her into a van. And Bob is like, what is it that you people don't get? That's got to be the definition of insanity. Or it's the Phil Hendry Show. Hello, everybody. Anyway, this is Mel Allen. Anyway, thank you very much for that request. That's a flashback request from 2002, Bob and the Puppies. And if you'd like to hear something, all you have to do is email us at phs@philhendryshow.com. You probably hear where I'm still struggling a bit with the, little kind of chest. It's actually tuberculosis. It's got to be some kind of, I don't know what it is, man, but it'll be done. I think it's better than it was last night. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. By the way, I got to tell you, because I'm listening to this story, and the lady said, when was it ever cool to let your kid go off with a stranger? And every now and again, I tell the story on the air of Albert Fish. So I think I probably ought to tell the story of Albert Fish. And I won't make it very long, and you can look this guy up. This guy is the reason why you tell kids not to go off with strangers. This guy is the reason. Now, there wasn't a collection of guys. It was this guy. This is the guy. And when I was a kid, they said, don't go off with a stranger. Why? Because of this guy. Now, his name was Albert Fish. And over a period of time in the early 1920s, so that's how long ago it was, he murdered, I don't know, somewhere in a neighborhood they think of maybe 100 kids. In New York, Staten Island, Brooklyn. Now, Albert Fish would, in some cases, and in one very celebrated case, he knocked on the door of a house where he saw there was a little girl. And this was his pitch. Now, if you think there was a time where it was okay to go off with a stranger, it really was, because he said to the lady of the house, the mother, oh, hello, ma'am. You know, my niece is having a birthday party. This is the story he said. And I noticed that you have a little 12-year-old girl, and I was wondering if she'd like to come to a birthday party. Oh, yeah, sure. Now, he goes off with this girl. Well, I'm not going to get graphic, but I will say this. He was also a cannibal. Now, seriously, not only was he a cannibal and he was a psychopathic serial murderer and a child molester, he also was really freaked out, man. I think the guy was schizophrenic because his kids even said he had kids. Like, these guys all have families. You notice this? When he was finally arrested by the New York police, he was given an X-ray. For some reason, Albert Fish, maybe it's some of these religious nuts believe in self punishment, but he took pins and he put them inside of himself. So they x-ray this guy, and there's like 15 pins. Really messed up. When they finally convicted this guy and gave him the death penalty, he was so psychotic and so completely out of it, they said, well, you're going to get the death penalty, Albert. What do you think? He goes, it's the one kick I haven't had yet. So we're talking about a real whacked out guy. But then there's also the possibility that it was all an act. He, like a lot of serial murderers, he liked to mail letters to taunt cops. He did a lot of that stuff. You could probably go online and see some of this stuff. And the other thing that's really weird is, if you've ever heard the name Hamilton Fish, that guy was a really prominent American congressman. This guy was related to him. So we're all one big happy family, huh? Phil Hendry Show will be right back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Hi, we have some email here, and we will read that in just a moment. But I wanted to tell you I found a very good site, and I'm going to tell you about that. But first, I want to tell you about our signing on the 11th of December. But before I tell you that, I'd like to... Good God, Henry, get organized, will you? What do you want to say? All right, first of all, December the 11th, we will be at Dave & Buster's. And Dave & Buster's, of course, is in the Santa Anita Mall in Arcadia, California. Now, Arcadia, California is my hometown. Not that that's any big thing. Not that I was treated all that well when I was in Arcadia. I'm kidding. I was treated very nicely. Got a lot of good friends there. Anyway, I thought it would be kind of a cool place to go. Hang out for the afternoon. Dave & Buster's is a lot of fun. There's all kinds of crap to do there. And if memory serves, I don't think they allow kids there. And that's a blessing. Yes, kids. Man, do they bug me. No, I'm just kidding. But I don't think they let kids in unless they got an adult with them. And even then, you better be, you know, you better be packing. You better have a gun. All right, so Dave & Buster's, it'll be at 3 o'clock. The first 250 people in line get to see a special Phil Hendry one-man show. Our signing begins at 4 o'clock. You are welcome to arrive early. You'll get a wristband. You can come in if you're one of the first 250 and watch a little bit of a 30-minute show. And then we will do our signing between 4 and 6. Dave & Buster's inside the Santa Anita Mall, the second floor, the new wing there, 400 South Baldwin Avenue in Arcadia. Woohoo! Oh, yeah. Yeah, Arcadia, man. Lucky Baldwin, Hugo Reed, the Flamingos. Dig this. This town I grew up in, Arcadia, California. It's right up in the foothills there, outside of Los Angeles. Now, the guy that, one of the original founders was this guy named Eli Lucky Baldwin. And the dude brought peacocks to the area. He got them from India. And these peacocks wander around the streets there. And when I was a kid, and I think it's still true, if you run one over, it's like a big fine. When I was a kid, it was a $500 fine. Now it's got to be like $5,000. Now, I don't know if you know anything about peacocks other than what you've seen on NBC. You know, well, actually, I don't think anybody even knows that reference. NBC, when it was really kind of cool to have color TV, you guys don't even know this, but they used to say, the following program is in color. Now everything's in color. I mean, if you got a black and white show, you'll throw your television set out of a window. But they had a peacock. Well, peacocks are about the dumbest thing that ever walked. It's a stupid bird. It'll walk right out in front of a truck. I mean, even a dumb, like a squirrel will run from a truck. Squirrels are weird, though. You know, have you ever had a squirrel, like, dart out in front of you? Because that's the game they play. This is how they get their kicks. They are about as sick as it gets. And I want to tell a lot of you folks now that squirrels, if you think they're cute and you want your kids around them, I think they set a horrible example. They get their laughs playing chicken with 18-wheelers, Jeeps. You think I'm kidding? And I nailed one day. I swear to God, I'm going down the street. And so some squirrel on a bet or a dare or whatever they were talking about over in the squirrel hutch, this thing darts out. Well, I feel this. I look in my rearview mirror and I see a squirrel going, just rolling. Dude, don't try it, man, with a Jag. I mean, you know, you're going to lose that every time. You know that, squirrel. And not only that, but there's some sort of a plastic attachment underneath my car that fell off. And there's just like the scratch mark where the squirrel got iced. But the point being, how the hell did I get onto this? Peacocks. Oh, peacocks are stupid, man. Now, you want to know how really dumb they are? These freaking things that get up into your chimney, and they get stuck. And so you got to call a fire department. That's what people always used to do. If a cat or anything got stuck, any animal got stuck anywhere, you call a fire department. Cat in a tree, peacock in a chimney, or if you're nude and you're on your girlfriend's roof. Well, that's generally the police, but they call a fire department to get the peacock out. You know, I told my mommy, I wasn't stupid. Even when I was 10, I said, let's light a fire in a fire. But what are you talking about? Call the cops.
What do you mean?
We got a peacock in a chimney, right? Yeah. We'll light a fire in a fireplace and burn the damn thing out of there.
Do you think that's a $500 fine? We're going to get our asses kicked by the city of Arcadia, you mean little boy.
Then okay, Mom. I was just trying to help. Time now to read some email. And then we're going to also hip you to a really kind of cool site. I dig this site. It's a Clint Eastwood site, but it's like the best movie lines from Eastwood movies. But first, this email. Phil, I was just wondering if you ever kicked somebody's ass in your younger years. If so, what were the circumstances leading up to the fight? Thanks, you're the best, David Snyder. Kicked somebody's ass? I mean, haven't we all? I mean, you know, if you haven't come out on the winning end of at least one fight, I mean, no. No, David, every fight I was ever in, I got my ass kicked. Thank you very much, and good night. I mean, not that I've been in a lot of fights, but I'm sure I won one or two of them. I seem to remember some kid crying, going, yeah, well, you just wait. Ah, shut up. And then your friend's patting you on the back as you walk away. Yeah, it was really great, man. Yeah, he'll see. All right, I don't know, sir. I don't know. I remember running a guy's head into a stucco wall once, or maybe that was my head. All right, Phil, haven't heard much about the riots in France lately. Has France surrendered? Eric, Clarksburg, West Virginia. The riots in France are, I think, the ultimate testament to the French chivalry. They allow people to set fire to things, and they still beat themselves over the head about, you know, what they did wrong. The only people in the world that they do not hold blameless are us. We screwed everything up. But a bunch of sheet wearers running around and setting fire to all their freaking shops. Now the frogs say they think that's really cool. I think the frogs think it's cool. The more crap they take, the more of a plunger handle they take, well greased, of course, the better it looks for the world. I mean, those cats, you know, the French just, they have no shame. There is no shame. Man, I'm serious. Think about it. We don't care. I mean, the way those people are is like this. Hi, let's just take a look at the history of your republic from the time of the revolution, shall we?
That certainly have been sealed if you wish to.
No, 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 hold on. Just shut up. A, you had a revolution. But it really wasn't a very good one because you wound up butchering up innocent people. And King Louis, who was a friend of our country, America, because he helped us with, you know, troops, you cut his head off and you set it on his body with his hands around it. I mean, and then you killed his wife, Marie Antoinette, and you sold the whole thing as if they were a bunch of asses. But frankly, the biggest douchebags in the history of France were you scumbags that had that revolution. Isn't that true?
Well, monsieur, you have to understand.
And then number two, finally, when he can't take it any longer, looking at all you guys running around with your hands on your asses, Napoleon takes over and becomes emperor. All right. Nice revolution, man. That's a whole 12 years of democracy. Way to do it, baby. So then that guy runs everything into the ground. So finally, somehow they get things back under control. Then he has a nephew named Napoleon III. He gets elected, and then he declares himself emperor. Yeah. What do you cats do? Nothing. You invade Mexico. That's right. You send Maximilian down there to get shot. Okay, so now let's move on into the 20th century. The only thing you cats did that was good was World War I. You actually kicked Germany's ass fairly decently. But you screwed that all up. By the late 1930s, as soon as they invaded, you didn't know where the maps were. You couldn't find a compass. You didn't know where are our planes in the air. Hitler was standing there at the Eiffel Tower getting his picture taken with a guy in a beret, and you guys are still running around looking for the submarines. Then de Gaulle is humiliated by Eisenhower because Eisenhower thinks de Gaulle's a scumbag, and he gets some other guy to run things. So de Gaulle's so bugged that even though how many guys did we leave on the beach dead getting your country liberated? Eisenhower, you know, because he snubbed de Gaulle comes back, he's all bugged in America, and he doesn't want anything to do with us. So let's see, we got, I don't know how many, 15,000, 30,000 Americans buried over there? And by 1948, when our guys were trying to land their planes at Bordeaux, French sheep farmers were, you know, putting their sheep out on the runway so our guys would get killed trying to land an airplane. Thanks a lot, you frog. God damn, man. Now, moving along. You douchebags get involved in Vietnam. Guess who's got a bale of bacon out on that one? Thank you very much, Uncle Sam. And meanwhile, you give us this music. This isn't American music. This is made by French people. Listen to it. You can almost hear the cheap movie that goes over it.
But for some time, I wish that you and I could live on the beach.
Oh, there is no beach. There'll never be a beach. You are but a clown, and I am the beach ball, and, you know, whatever the hell.
All right, now what else? Oh, yeah, then you guys almost have another revolution in 1968. The most harebrained jackball thing I've ever seen in my life. It's like about communism, but it isn't. It's about, like, freedom, but it's not. It's that whole student thing. It's like the students of France came over, they looked at what the students in America were doing, who had kind of a focused thing. Vietnam sucks, and civil rights needs to be promoted. Okay, that's kind of a nice, focused agenda. What were the frogs into? All they did was they watched a lot of TV, saw a lot of long-haired Americans going apes, so they decided to do the same thing, and they had Viet Cong flags and whatever, man. You cats bailed out of Vietnam like 15 years before, after you got your asses kicked. Took the Vietnamese about, what, 2 weeks to do that? Now let's move into the 70s. Jacques Chirac, this guy who's like the big hero, he's toasting Saddam Hussein as the greatest thing since sliced bread. Nobody wants to remember that one, though. It's just everything America did. Meanwhile, they're making off with all kinds of contracts. Guys are padding their pockets left and right through the freaking 80s, on through the 90s. And now what do we got? I'll tell you what we got. The airfare to Paris is astronomical. I demand a discount. Not only that, but I had seafood there on the Champs something or other. And those periwinkles were stale. Next time I go over there, I'd like to see Henri. He's my man. Thank you and good night. That's Phil Hendry's travelogue. France. Blowing chimp since 1789. We'll be right back on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Hey, I got a little story for you. This is great. Okay, here, I'll put some music to it so you won't think it's all messed up and weird. And, oh, God, Phil, please, no more lectures. No, you'll like this. Did I already tell him about Citizen Janae? I didn't tell you that. See, here is the douche quotient on the frogs. Seriously. No, you can't. This is serious. They have this revolution, right? We already had ours. We're over here. We're kicking ass. We're doing our thing. We got New York. You know, we got stocks and bonds. Everything's beautiful. We kicked the British out. Everything's great. Guys are walking around with powdered wigs. And the whole thing's a beautiful thing. Washington's president, he's walking around with his wooden teeth. Now these frogs have this revolution. Now, what do they send over here? They send over their ambassador, and he's a guy named Janae. And this dude comes over to America, and he's all, my comrades, all of a sudden we're real butthole buddies, and we had a revolution, and they did too, and will you please give us warships for our war with, excuse me, I just said the F word. I just said the F word, yes! Let me start all over again. This guy, Janae, comes over, he says, would you please give us warships for our war with Britain, because we're comrades, we're revolutionaries. And Washington says to this guy, no, we're not going to do that, dude. We just got out of a revolution, man. We can't afford another freaking war. Now, this other guy, this kid, Hamilton, he says to Washington, these frogs are nuts. And if it wasn't for Jefferson and all of his, pie-in-the-sky bullcrap, because Jefferson thought the French were just great. He was in love with them, even though Jefferson was the biggest douchebag ever to walk. Other than the Declaration of Independence, this guy was a real loser. So anyway, this cat says, no. So what does this guy Janae do? This is just like a frog. He says, well, you know what, Mr. President, I'm going to take my case to the American people. The cat tries to get a revolution number two going over here. He goes out into America. He starts hanging out with all these Americans who are in love with the French Revolution, who have all these clubs. I mean, Americans have been into clubs since time. And in those days, we had these clubs where we would dress up in frog costumes and imagine that we were like cutting cats' heads off. So that's the last straw for Washington. He tells the French, you get this guy and you get him out of here before I kill him. Now, one of the things that's true about, you probably heard this about George Washington, the guy had a temper. I mean, he had a temper. You didn't screw with him. He was about 6'4" and he kicked ass. I mean, literally. And you did not mess around with him. When that guy said, get him out of here, the French didn't waste much time. They had to get this guy out of here because he was trying to start some crap over here. Like, you know, what, 5-6 years after we just got out of a war ourselves? Other than that, man, I dig him. All right, now it's time for email. Oh, I'm sorry, we have to break again. Bud Dickman on saxophone.
Thank you.
We'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back, 1-800-449-8686.
On our website, you see Chris Norton's Babe of the Week is Raquel of Toronto, and,
She was out of the country. And, you know, I said some stuff about her on the air yesterday. She emails me today, man. She ain't happy with me. I think it's all over, dude. She's pissed. She is officially pissed. But Raquel, you know, and I emailed her back. I said, well, here you go. That's why I'm such a smash with women. Oh, I just make every woman in my life so giddy. Giddy with joy. Well, I will apologize. I said, like, you know, those pictures look maybe to 20 years old. I didn't say, though, that the ones I got of her that are current are very beautiful.
No, you didn't say that because you said she looked old in them.
Why don't you shut up? Well, it doesn't matter now. She hates my guts. So anyway, but check her out. She's on our website, Chris Norton's Babe of the Week. Couple of interesting things here are, of course, our signing is on the 11th of December at Dave and Buster's in Arcadia. I hope you can make it. 3 o'clock, the first 250 people see a one-man show. Then I got this quote here from the best quotes from the gauntlet. And all right, you mother jumpers, this is a bust. All right, everybody up against their bike, balls in your pockets. Come on, come on. Biker number one, son of a bee. Shockley, the next turkey who tries that, I'm going to shoot him, stuff him, and stick an apple in his ass. Any takers? You? He points the gun. You? Hey, man, you can't do this without a warrant. Man says, I need a warrant, huh? Yeah, that's right. Well, the man don't know jack. Now, anybody here know more about the law than me? Any lawyers here? Any lawyers want to tell me why I don't need a warrant? Dave Oliva, by the way, is next. Dave Oliva next. You with the hair. You look smart. Why don't you tell me why I'm entitled
to come in? Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.